Good morning to you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, saints and sinners, children of God. The year of our Lord's favor is upon us, and there is good news to be heard all over the place. From the very beginning, we hear that Jesus is filled with the Spirit. And Luke, this being filled with the Spirit that we heard about this morning, takes place right after he spends his time in the wilderness, being subjected to the temptations by the one we sometimes call Satan and the one we sometimes call the devil. And he was actually driven into that wilderness by the same Spirit that laid upon him upon his baptism. And also, as Luke tells us, this report has been spread about Jesus all across the surrounding countryside, throughout the region of Galilee. But what could this report be about? Jesus has not yet begun to perform his miracles. In fact, the only thing that we have seen that has happened has what took place on the event of his baptism. But with these reports surrounding about him and about his baptism, he arrives in Nazareth, this hometown where people already know who he is and where he was raised. And whether or not they heard reports about him, maybe they don't even make the connection that this is the one that they're talking about, this kid that they saw grow up. And because it is the Sabbath, Jesus heads to the pit synagogue. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus has been to the synagogue. We read in this account, it was his usual custom in the Sabbath. And I'm sure that many people here might be able to relate to going to visit your old hometown. You know, don't you go to the same restaurants that you always used to go to? Or maybe go visit some of the old friends that you always see every time you go back home? Or maybe even go back to your traditional church? But Jesus has been seen here many times before, and these people in the synagogue know him. And like we sometimes find, Jesus has taken the position of a teaching as he sits in the synagogue, as he's very likely done many times before, because even though these people do not understand who Jesus fully is, they have seen him teach before. And his reputation as a teacher, in addition to being the son of Joseph and Mary, precedes him. And so, him in this teaching place would not be unusual. But this time is special. It is different and unexpected. And we don't know if this Isaiah reading that Jesus read from was appointed for that particular Sabbath. But we can assume that some part of Isaiah was, because that was the scroll they handed him. But using this selection from Isaiah, which comes from our Isaiah 61, as his text is important. Because when it talks about the year of the Lord, it is referring to this Levitical observation that we know as the Jubilee. It was a year that was supposed to take place every 50 years, according to Leviticus. And it was a time for debts to be forgiven, for the ground to lie fallow, which meant that you just didn't plant your crops that year, for servants to be set free from servitude and indenture, and the land would be restored to those who originally owned it. And so for Jesus to declare that this passage has been fulfilled in their hearing, he is taking this year of Jubilee on himself. He is declaring not only the condition of society that was crying out for justice, he was declaring that the time had come for all people to be set right. And what powerful and amazing words those must have been to those in his hearing who were seeking justice and mercy and forgiveness. Because this concept of Jubilee was a concept that people felt that God had ordained and humankind had deliberately ignored. And what frightening and antagonistic those words must have been to those whose self-interest lie in the status quo, to those who held the debts, to those who keep people in servitude, to those whose interest was all that all things remain the same. This concept of Jubilee must have been quite threatening to them. Their livelihood, their desires. And when Jesus takes this upon himself, he's not doing so saying that this is going to happen at some point in the future. He's saying it needs to happen right now. Something to take part in right away. And that the poor, the outcast, the suffering, the blind, the weary, the widows, the orphans, the refugees, the marginalized cannot wait any longer. Their suffering needs to come to an end. This is the good news that Jesus himself, out of his own words, proclaimed. That he was the fulfillment of all the prophecies of Isaiah. What wondrous news that must have been. And what a start of his ministry to come. Now, it seems today, my sisters and brothers, that this concept of Jubilee can't come too soon. It is looking less and less like a conceptual ideal, something that might sound good on paper, but can't possibly be instituted, and something more like a means of making the way of God come near seem more practical. It's a way of restoring the connectivity among all humankind that God desires. From our little community here, all the way up to the city, the state, the entire world. We are at this point in history that the weight of debts threaten to crumble the downtrodden. That our entire ecology must get a break from the destruction that we continually reap on it. That the means to a good quality health exists. And it's a sin to withhold it because someone can't afford it. Jesus had declared the time for us to forgive the debts, to give the land a break, and to heal the ailing is now. And by virtue of his saving grace, the world cannot wait. And we, my sisters and brothers, who are so filled with love, but who sometimes feel so few and inadequate, what are we to do? This news about Jesus, this report about him that had been spread throughout the region, this miracle of Jesus' baptism had gone viral. Now, if you know what that means, it went viral. It's as if somebody there had a smartphone. As the miracle of his baptism took place and shared it online, and then other people shared it, and so on and so forth, until everybody was watching this miracle of Jesus' baptism on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat. This important event that foretold that this God's Son, in whom God was pleased, was being shared on the first century Facebook, and moved by the power of the Galilean internet, by camel, caravan, and crossroads. It was all that people talked about, at least until something else came along to get people talking. Because people like to share news, things that just happened, and tell other things, and they want to be the first to tell somebody something else. And that somehow Jesus, the revelation of all their prophecies, who brings comfort to the afflicted, aid to the discouraged, was often relayed as any other story was relayed. And over time, the good news meant something else, something different to different people. And it wasn't always good news for everyone, at least not initially. Although I even have to wonder how people of means cannot see that creating advantage for all the world improves one's own state of being. That improving the health of the world improves the health of everybody. God calls us Christians to share the good news about Jesus. God calls us God's beloved children to proclaim the year of Jubilee that God has ordained to come through the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be forgiving, to love one another, and to extend mercy upon all of God's people, to forgive debts, to share this viral message to one another, that through His loving kindness we may be saved, that everybody is redeemed by God's merciful grace. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gifts us the means with which to restore His people into right relationship with one another. Now, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Paul recites the gifts that God provides. And we can take maybe a cue from what Paul says if we want to figure out what it is that we need to do. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. And that those of us without hope may find hope for God's mercy, and that we all have the capacity to grant mercy and forgiveness to one another. That some of us are gifted with the ability to inspire others to fulfill the wondrous commission that our Lord Jesus Christ has sent us out to fulfill. And some of us are gifted with the means to help and equip others. And some of us are gifted with the means to enable others to understand the word of Jesus Christ. And that each of us has gifts. The Word and Spirit guides each of us, my brothers and sisters, onto our right pathways. And we all don't have the same gifts. And it is the same Holy Spirit that calls out, driving each and every one member of God's creation. And that though our assembly is small, that we here at this church, through our facility and our programs and the touches that we give and the impacts that we make in our community, this programs that happen in this place affect so many members of this community. And even though our numbers at Sunday morning sometimes might seem challenging, that God's Spirit touches hundreds and hundreds of individuals every single week in our walls, spreading out to thousands throughout the area. And so the good news, my sisters and brothers, is that God declared this time that we are living in the year of the Lord's favor, that Jesus Christ has come to heal the people, free the captives, and rescue the poor from servitude and oppression. That the Holy Spirit drives all of God's people to use their gifts to ensure that we live in this time of Jubilee now. We are forgiven and we forgive others. We heal the world, the ecology, that we rescue the oppressed and the blind, and heal the blind, free the captives, do all this in the world now, being ready for God's glorious kingdom that we have been promised to come. Amen. Amen.